as well to extend a happy Father's Day to all of your father, all those fathers out there. We're so thankful for the work that you do in just raising up your children and just the impact that you have on your household, on your community, on this church. Mothers and fathers, we've gotten to celebrate them now both this year, and there's always really special times to be able to celebrate both the mothers and the fathers in our lives, and they take on such unique roles in the household, don't they? For moms, they always got the hugs, they always got the talks, they got the times when you're just going through stuff and you just need a shoulder to lean on and to walk through things with. And then there's dads who are the strong, just kind of cornerstones of the house, and they help help you walk through some hard times. They help guide you in life. I know if your father was anything like mine, he was a man that led you in Scripture and pointed you towards God, and I'm so thankful for a father like that. But another thing that a father does that sometimes goes a little bit more on him than the mother, in my family environment anyways, was the father had to deal with the brawls between siblings. Anybody else have those in their house? For us, it was two boys that were growing up, that were brothers growing up, and my mom always said that she had to raise three boys, but there was just the two of us, my brother and I, and we would every once in a while, I know it's hard to believe, a perfect little angel like me, yeah, you can laugh at that, that we would get into tussles with my brother, and there would be some back and forth, and there would be baseball bats and shovels that were involved in those sometimes. The baseball bats were like the plastic ones, so don't worry too much. But yeah, my dad was the one that got in between all that. He was the one that had to deal with that. And so as we're going through this look at the first few chapters in the book of Genesis, I think it's a really appropriate time for Father's Day to be talking in Genesis chapter 4. Because in Genesis chapter 4, we see two brothers that are kind of going at it a little bit. And my brother had texted me earlier this spring, and he had found something out. He decided that probably all of my brother and I's arguments, all of the fights that we had gotten into growing up, he said it had to stem back to Genesis chapter 4. He said it wasn't really his fault. It was just this instinct that had been developed as we look at Cain and Abel. And it started to worry me a little bit because we see that this doesn't end so well. And I don't think that we quite picked up what my brother was talking about from Cain and Abel, but I do think that we see in our lives today that there is still this pattern. There's still this thing that we seem to have picked up, that Cain ended up picking up from his parents, and that I think we continue to pick up from him. And once again, we see this pattern, this instinction to cover up the things that are going on in our lives. And we see that in a dramatic way in the story of Cain and Abel. To get us into this story, we've just walked through the beauty and power of creation. We've seen God intentionally form man to be in relationship with him. Not only that, but God calls man to be his partner in creation. In the garden, God puts Adam and he creates Eve to be caretakers. He commissions them to increase in number and steward the earth. And at this point, they're batting 500. They've started to have sons. They've started to increase their numbers. But we see the problem. Because before Before they had kids, they ate of the fruit of this tree. And not just any tree, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We saw last week that this act represented a decision to reject the guidance of God and to rebel from His rule. And in this rejection and rebellion, sin entered into the world. Not only that, but mankind began to take up this habit, trying to cover up the shame in their lives. And now they had this choice. They had the choice to do the good they knew, or to make the same choice as their parents, to choose to rebel, to choose to reject God and His word, God and His direction in their lives. And that's where we meet these two men. We meet Cain and his brother Abel. And we see that for both of them, they have this drawing to what their parents had done. They have this connection to the story that we had just seen earlier. You see, because Cain, he was a farmer. Cain worked the ground. Cain, he must have worked it hard, because we see that God had given them this command and this commission to go and to be co-creators and to take care of the earth, to steward the earth, and to bring up new crops and to take care of this. And Cain was doing this, but in his parents' rebellion, we see that there was a curse handed down, that from now on, the ground would produce thorns and thistles and weeds. And that would be hard work to go and to cultivate the ground, to go and to bring up crops. It would take hard labor. And so we see that this is where Cain gets his work. He spends his days working the ground and trying to bring up crops for food. It was contrary to the trees around the Garden of Eden, pleasing to the eye and good for food. And we see that Abel worked in direct relation to the reality humanity was in now as well. Because before there was this peace surrounding creation. There was this peace surrounding creation. We see that Adam and Eve, they walked in the garden and they walked with animals, and the animals came to them. It says when Adam is getting this charge to go out and to name the animals come to him. And you don't have to go very far from the church building here to see that that's not the case anymore. When Levi is walking through the timber with a shotgun, the deer don't necessarily come to him, do they, Levi? There's a different picture in our world today. I was amazed yesterday. Carolyn was getting food for the squirrels in our trees out front, and she went out there and she had her pail, and she was just kind of shaking her pail, and there was a squirrel at the bottom of the tree, and the squirrel just ran right up to the feeder as she poured in the seeds just right by her hand. And I was like, what in the world? She goes, what, does that not happen for you? I said, no, when I'm walking down with a .22, that doesn't usually happen to me. We see that there's a different relationship there. That relationship has been broken. And for Abel, he worked as well as Cain did, but now that peace had been gone. We see that in the choice that Adam and Eve made, there was death that entered into the world. We see that as Adam and Eve made the decision to rebel against God, they tried to cover up themselves. They tried to cover with the leaves and the vegetation around, and they knew that they had this shame, that they had this nakedness that they didn't know before. And to provide a covering, so that they were under the right kind of cover, God had to slay an animal. It tells us that God made coverings for them, made garments from an animal. There had to be death that entered in because of their sin, because of the shame that they had. And so that's where it comes into this picture, this picture that will have happened for over 1,000 years following. What would culminate in Jesus giving himself as a sacrifice for the sin of all humanity. It goes back to this. We see that there has to be a sacrifice in order for reconciliation with God. And so Abel worked as a farmer as well. He worked as a shepherd, guiding flocks and caring for animals that we see later on in Scripture would one day be the instruments of bringing back times where God's people could be with him once again. Like I said, we see that circling until finally Jesus comes and he pays that price once and for all. The good shepherd takes over this system of sacrifices that were put in place. But before we get there, we see the story begin. And we pick up in Genesis chapter 3. And it says, over the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offerings, but on Cain and his offerings, he did not look with favor. So Cain was angry, and his face was downcast. We see that there's this offering that is brought to God, and it's this relative offering. Offering of grain and offering of the firstborn, the fruits of Abel's labor. Both of them are bringing this offering to God. Both of them are bringing what they have, what they have produced to God. And for Cain, he brings this offering of grain, and God doesn't accept it. For Abel, he brings the fat portions, the good parts of the animal, and he gives it to him. And it says that God looked with favor on Abel's offering. And no one knows for sure the peace that was rejected. There's a lot of guesses out there. Some have suggested that God sets the precedent later on in the sacrifice where it has to be doing with the shedding of blood. We see in Leviticus there are times where God does call for grain offerings, so that's a little bit different there. But where it leads us to is the heart of the issue. And we can't say for sure, but if Cain's heart was the same before as it were after, then we may have a clue to why God turned down his offering. Because Scripture continues on, it says, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. We see that Cain's heart just turns angry at the moment that God rejects his offering. We see that Cain's heart is in the wrong place, it seems like. Especially after the offering, and it could have been before. Cain comes to God and he gives this offering, and this offering is trying to win favor with God, but it doesn't add up. And the amazing thing is that in the midst of Cain's anger, in the midst of Cain's attitude with God, God offers Cain a cover. He offers him this opportunity to make things right. He gives him a grace opportunity here. He says to Cain, hey, you didn't get this right. But don't you know, if you do what is right, you will be accepted. Being Father's Day, one of the things my dad always told my brother and I when we were out on the golf course is that the great thing about golf is if you miss, you always have another shot. If you know anything about golf, that isn't a great thing. But it's true in our lives as well. We mess up. But we know that God continues to reach down to us with forgiveness. Sometimes it feels in life like God's grace can be hard. Because for Cain, God comes down and he says, hey, your offering wasn't what it needed to be. He says, you have the opportunity to make things right. But we look at Cain and he's already given. For Cain, he already gave what he thought was right. And for Cain, this was his livelihood. He was giving of his livelihood. And for him, it must have been hard, even for that offering, to part with it. To say, I'm not keeping this for myself. I'm giving it to God. And God is sitting here telling him that it wasn't there. He says, you have an opportunity to do this over again. But for Cain, we see that he has this choice. He can either be living in this grace opportunity that God gives him, or we see that Cain has the choice to cover for himself. God warns him about it. He says, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. God is giving Cain this warning saying, hey, I see what's going on in your life. You know what? I know. I'm the one who told you that the first time you didn't come to me in the right way. Saying, I'm giving you another opportunity, but I can see in your heart. That sin is crouching at your door. And God uses this metaphor, this imagery of a lion waiting to devour its prey. And he tells Cain, that's what sin is right now. It's sitting there and it's waiting to devour you. Choice becomes, what is Cain going to do? The next verses hold the violence and destruction that sin brings. Because there's this warped, devouring cover that Cain instead chooses instead of God's cover. It says, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. This is the destruction that sin brings. Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life. For each of us, we have the same choice that Cain had to make. We have this grace opportunity to accept Jesus and accept Him as the Lord and Savior of our life. And God gives us this gift that is eternal life. But we still today have this sin sitting at our doors, waiting to devour us. And the wages are death. When we reject the love, the forgiveness, the cover of God, we bring a terror into the world that He created. At this point in the story, sin has destroyed trust. Sin has destroyed relationships. Sin destroyed families. Sin destroyed life. It's destroyed the design of creation. And it's devoured the peace that Cain will live with from now on. Because that we see that Cain enters into this punishment. It says, the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. There's a punishment, not equal, but in correlation to the life that Cain had taken away. Cain had killed his brother. He couldn't create a new life to take the spot of his brother, but God tells him that there's going to be a punishment, that he's going to have to live as a wanderer. He's not going to be able to cultivate, to join God in the commission that he had given him, to be able to work the ground anymore. The amazing thing is that Cain begins to play the victim. He begins to cry out, and it says, Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I'll be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. And in a way that I can't comprehend, but in a way that I'm so glad, God has compassion. So glad that God had compassion on me. And here God shows that compassion to Cain. He takes this man who has destroyed life, takes this man who has rebelled, who has been presented with the consequences of his own choice, and God has compassion for Cain. It says, but the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. It tells us, then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land east of Nod, east of Eden. We see that God still provides a cover for Cain. That God is constantly working and God is constantly giving grace. Where for us, we look at it and wonder if any should be shown. But in God's amazing love, he gives grace. He gives cover. And God covers Cain with a protection that will last. As long as Cain is alive, God marks Cain so that he won't be killed. He'll live out the rest of his days wandering the world through God's grace and peace. He's cast out from the Lord's presence, which Cain said it himself, and I hope we recognize it today, that is more than any of us can bear. And that's why it's so important to recognize and to realize in this story the truth that we can see in it is that God remains faithful even when we are unfaithful. And God remains faithful for Cain even when he was unfaithful. God remains faithful to us even though we are unfaithful so many times. And through the life of God's Son, God offers a relationship with us. He offers restoration. He offers a place in his presence that we can have life with him. It's the story that's going to continue on through the rest of Scripture. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. You're saying it. Throughout the rest of Scripture, we see that God's people, when left to their own devices, begin to make the same decisions of those who came before. But throughout each of those books, through the stories of our lives lived today, we recognize the truth that God remains faithful even when we are unfaithful. And I'm thankful for that grace. We have the opportunity today. We have the opportunity to make the decision that God gives Cain. To turn away from our anger, to turn away from our rejection, to turn away from our sin. And God gives this promise through His Son. If you come to Him, you'll be accepted. It was the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross. He fulfilled all the wages of sin. He paid the price of death so that we can have eternal life. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank You for Your Son. For Your Son who gave His life so that we can have an adoption. We can be Your children. God, it's through Jesus Christ that we cry out to You and are able to call You Father. And God, we are so thankful to be Your children. God, today, help us to turn from the sin that's in our lives, from the sin that's in our hearts. And God, we want to give our hearts to You. God, create in us a new heart. Manifest in us Your Spirit. Let us be Yours today. It's in Jesus' name we pray.